This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, Mike.
Hello there. How are you today?
I am well. How about you?
Well, now that I got out of my truck, walked across your hot parking lot, and got in this building, I'm okay.
My gosh. 99 is what it says here now, but you think we're going to reach 100? That'd be, what, 6-7 days in a row?
Well, weren't we at over 100 earlier today?
We may have been.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 105 or something like that. Yeah, it was earlier, like, you know, noonish, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there. At least out towards my place it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
No.
But
so that, I believe that would be a record for Roseburg to have that many triple digit days in a row like
that. Well, what do you expect with global warming, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. So, if you're out in your yard, go in your house and cool off and drink some iced tea or something.
And leave the radio on.
Leave the radio on. So, but if you do have a question about your yard, your lawn, your garden, your trees, or whatever, 673-4464, you can ask your question and we'll have a conversation. And hopefully I can give you the information that you're seeking. Anything about your lawns or your trees, your shrubs, you know, watering, fertilizing, all that kind of stuff. Today, I'm going to go through some lawns again and talk about lawns, and especially in this heat. And, you know, how do you make them survive and what do you do and all that kind of stuff. But lawns can be beautiful all year long with good basic care and maintenance. I mean, you just got to know what the basics are, what the lawn needs, and how often you do it, and what type of stuff you use, that kind of thing. And you can have a fairly green lawn. I mean, there's a lot of brown lawns right now. As you drive around town, people cut them way too short, or they haven't watered them enough, or they haven't fertilized them in a while, and so they cut all the green stuff off, and it's brown underneath, and they go, oh, wait, you don't have to cut it as much, I guess, then, when it's all brown. So
gophers, thank you very much.
Ain't nothing happening, man. But if you do it right, and there are some little twists and turns you can do to keep them green, with basic care and maintenance, and the secrets of good care really are simple: water, fertilizer, and proper mowing. Those three things are what'll keep a lawn green and beautiful.
Even in the heat,
you know. But prior to installing your lawn, if you're going to do it or have somebody else do it, don't forget ground prep as the most important first step. Ground prep. Proper ground prep is a must for long-term health. There's no two ways about it. You can't get around it. For instance, if, let's say there's a weed patch where you want a new lawn, well, spray that thing with Roundup at least twice and kill every one of those boogers and anything else that's coming up right there, and let it set for a week and then spray it again to make sure that, you know, when you start your actual lawn work, that you don't bring up a whole new batch of wonderful weeds that grow without any care.
Little babies.
Yeah, but you want to have a clean slate on which to start your lawn. And of course, tilling, rototilling, needs to be done at least 6 inches deep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to break up that existing soil so that it's loose with no rocks or hard clumps of clay, you know, that kind of stuff. And the second step is to add some fine growing mulch or old sawdust, old fine bark mulch, old, you know, just organic material to mix with your existing soil, because that's going to help your root system on your new lawn. It will catch on better. It will grow better. It will look better. but you just get all those loose dirt clods and clumps of hard clay. Get them out of there. Till it until you know there's nothing left. Mm. And the second step, like I said, is to add the fine growing mulch and till that in. And you till that in lightly. Just mix it well, and then you begin to level and smooth that surface. You don't want any low spots that collect water once you've installed either sod or seed. And if you're starting with seed, buy a premium grass seed. Don't not some something that's on sale for half price, because you're not getting top quality then. You're going to have to spend a few bucks on it, and it's not going to be all that outrageous. It's going to be more expensive than what the, you know, just kind of off-the-shelf seed.
But, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and you apply the seed and the fertilizer to the new lawn bed, and don't skimp on the seed, but go light on the fertilizer. Fertilizer is good, but a little bit light. Maybe the directions say 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet or 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Cut back a little bit on that, and you can always add to it, but if you put too much up front, then you're going to really hurt your brand-new little grass blades that are trying to germinate.
All your work and money.
Yeah, and you go, what's wrong? My lawn? The grass came up green and turned brown the next day. Well, maybe you put too much fertilizer on it. You know, that's what's...
That's depressing.
Yeah, that would be depressing. But, you know, then you begin the watering process. That watering process is important, especially in this kind of heat that we've been having. Keep it damp at all times. No dry spots. And you may have to water 5 times a day if you got a hose or a sprinkler system, but you're not going to water a long time. You might water 10 minutes or 15 minutes and shut her down just to keep it damp. The new grass will germinate in about 4 to 5 days in this kind of weather. And as more grass appears, you can water for a longer time to keep the seed that's still in there to germinate. And within like 2 weeks, on average, all the seed should be up and growing. And when the lawn is up and growing, watering time and frequency is also going to change with less times per day, but increasing the amount of water, like heavy in the morning and the evening, and maybe lightly in the afternoon. So it doesn't totally dry out on you. You don't want it to totally dry out. You want some measure of dampness in that new seed bed just about all day, especially in this when it's hitting 100 and whatever. But as the new grass gets fuller, you can cut the water a little bit to like every other day, but with a little bit longer time. So you're cutting a day out, but you're adding, you know, maybe 10 minutes to the watering time, especially if you have a sprinkler system like that. And within a month, average watering may be only, you know, twice per week, but it'd be like a half an hour each time. At least, or maybe 45 minutes, depending on your soil, depending on your drainage, depending on whether it's on a slope or it's flat. You know, you just have to kind of determine that and look and say, well, if it's damp, it looks damp, feel the edges or something, don't walk on it. If it's damp, leave it alone. It's okay. But within maybe in an hour, you're going to have to flip on your sprinkler or go out there with your hose and hand water, you know, whatever method you have.
Checking it or whatever.
Just keep checking it, you know. And as you water and that water level goes down, then the grass roots will follow that moisture level down. And the farther down they get, the stronger the grass is. Surface roots, let's say you only did a minimal preparation, and only went down, you know, say 3 or 4 inches on your tilling or adding anything. And the first grass starts to pop up and it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But you're not watering quite enough or something. Then it hits the hard pan that you didn't till. And see, that new grass root can't penetrate that ground. And so consequently, you either have a shallow root system or the grass just starts to wither and die because it doesn't have anything to sustain it.
Will actually die.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And this kind of heat. And number one, I should have mentioned this earlier, I wouldn't install a seed lawn in this kind of weather. I would wait till the temperatures dropped into the 80s.
Like September?
Yeah, 75-ish to 85-ish. That's a good time. It's warm enough. but it doesn't cook them. You know, 105 cooks the stuff pretty well. You know,
cooks everything.
Yeah, stand out there in 105 for a while, especially in a parking lot paved.
With your shoes off.
With your shoes off, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Don't do that.
Yeah, then we're talking about grass, not people. Oh, but prior to the first mowing, you know, walk on the lawn to test the soil firmness. If you're sinking in as you walk and each step that you make is an inch deep, you better stop watering for a few days to firm up that soil, because your lawn's going to be humpy and bumpy and not so nice and smooth as you would like it.
Sounds like the presidential race.
Right. I didn't want to get that far into this. but you because you don't want ruts or holes in your new lawn. I mean, it's just the then you have to go through and fill those holes and do this and get it up to snuff. And it really that's why it's really important in the preparation process that when you till and you smooth and you roll it out prior to either seeding or sodding, it should be firm enough that you can walk on it without denting it. You know, if you're walking on it and your shoes sink in an inch and a half, you know, it's not good.
Kind of like,
yeah.
That's like new carpet feel.
Exactly. You don't want to do that.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. But like I say, prior to that first mowing, walk on the lawn to test the soil firmness. See how firm it is. If you're sinking, stop watering for a few days to firm up the soil. And you won't have ruts, you won't have holes in your new lawn. And when it's firm, when you think it's firm enough, go ahead and mow, but don't scalp your grass. In other words, don't lower your mower to the bottom and say, yeah, I'm gonna cut it short so I don't have to cut it as often. Wrong thing, especially on a brand new lawn.
Oh, Lord.
Mow at a high setting with sharp mower blades.
Is that good? You need to give it a chance?
You got to give it a chance to mature, if you will, and actually put the root system down. You know, the farther down that the root system goes, the blade of grass is stronger. I mean, that's
right.
You know, it's like a kid. A two-year-old eats certain things, and he's, you know, X amount of strength, but, you know, he gets to be about six. He's eating a lot more, and he's a lot more active, and consequently, you didn't cut him off at the roots.
And if you did, probably in jail.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. But, again, like I say, when it's firm enough, mow it, but don't scalp it. Mm-hmm. Don't mow it at a high setting. And maybe not the highest setting, but the second to highest, and with the sharp blades, because you just want to take the top off. You don't want to damage that root system. You don't want to put that new lawn under a whole bunch of super stress or anything like that. It's always better to have it a little shaggy at first, and because you can always cut it.
Just give it a little trim.
Yeah, and as it's growing, you're cutting back on the water. You're maybe only watering twice a week, but you're watering for a longer time, and it's at night so that the water doesn't evaporate before it gets to the ground. Like on a day like today, go ahead, turn on your water. Well, I don't know how much of it's actually penetrating the lawn roots, because most of it is being, you know, evaporated into the sky, for crying out loud.
I did that accidentally this morning on my way in. I had a bottle of water, and I'm drinking it as I'm driving, and it spilled a little bit on the side of that, whatever, the vinyl on the door panel there, and it was gone.
Yeah. Don't take much heat.
No.
Well, same thing happens to a brand new lawn or an old lawn, too. So as the lawn matures, of course, then I think the best way is to water after sundown or like prior to sun up. To give it a good maximum dose of water, and it has time to soak into the root system before the light of day comes upon it and starts to heat up. That's how easy it
is. Starts the cycling process again.
We got a break?
We do. Let's take a break. Get some water.
Okay, 673-4464. If you have a call, question,
a phone call, question.
A phone call. Yeah, we do that.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hi, Mike. Are you there? Hi. Yes, I can. I got a few questions for you. First of all, I have some arborvitas, and I had them. We had some pruning done in January, and he pointed out that we had a few borers. Is that like a beetle or a worm or something that were? Right. The life. Yeah. Yeah. And he told me, and he actually put some of this solution, which I don't know the name of, around the remain. I have like 14 other ones, and they're sad looking. But anyway, he treated them, but I don't see that it's helped. And I'm wanting to, well, first of all, you know, I'm wanting to know, should I cut the branches that are like, you can tell that are totally off, or just try to save it? Or are those borers going to, you know, keep going to the next tree and the next tree?
Yeah, they will do that, because as they suck the life out of the tree, they got to find some new ground to graze on. So consequently, they'll go next door. So you want it to, when you treat your trees, you want to treat all of them equally, and in some way prevent the, not only kill the existing borers, but to prevent any new ones to come from coming up and penetrating into the trees that aren't harmed.
So, is there a certain brand or something I could buy? Because I don't know what he used.
Okay. Well, my best advice is to go to the co-op, Farmers Co-op, and ask one of the gentlemen in there, because there's several name brands and varieties, and you know, some are good and some are better and that kind of thing. And they could point out what they think is best and what works the best. And and when you do spray, when it's cool, maybe after the sun goes down, you know, after the sun goes down or prior to the sun coming up, spray then, and that way the spray will penetrate better. And if there's any live borers around, they'll take a shot. You might have to do it. Might have to do it several times, and it just depends on the amount of borers that you might have. So that's important.
Now, this guy that pruned, he mixed a solution and poured it at the trunk. So I guess I don't want to look for that one.
When I've treated these kinds of things for borers in the past, you can do some at the trunk level, down at the bottom, so it penetrates the ground, because a lot of times that's where they lay their eggs, in the soil right beneath into the root system, and then as the eggs hatch and the little varmints mature, they start crawling up the tree and then penetrating into the bark. So that would certainly help, and if you did that at least once a year, that would certainly slow that activity down. And then if you spray the whole tree or the damaged parts of the tree, like I say, do it when it's cool. Do it like early morning or after the sun goes down, and make sure you follow directions. Don't think a double shot of this stuff is better than a single shot. I mean, you don't want to harm the tree any more than it is.
So would you suggest doing both the spray and the solution at the trunk, or just doing
both.
One or the other? Yes,
both,
okay.
Both.
And should I, in the interim, maybe cut those branches off that I know are totally dead?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Get rid of them.
Okay.
Get rid of them.
Okay. Okay, thank you on that. And then I have a question on hydrangeas.
Yeah.
My hydrangeas, this is the first year they've really bloomed proficiently, and now they're all crispy.
Crispy?
So,
what's crispy, the leaves or the flowers?
Well, mainly the leaves, but the flowers are all sad. You know, they're all like crying.
So how long have these hydrangeas been in?
Oh, about up to 17 years.
Oh, wow. You're not overwatering, are you?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. How often do you water them?
Well, they're on a drip, which is every other day, but then at night I've been going out and watering them, and then I started putting the drip hose on them, you know, just manually going out there and letting it drip for like an hour.
Uh-huh.
But I want to know if I should, I don't want to think it's dead because there might be some living parts, but should I cut all the, should I cut all that looks really bad off at this time?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Because if it has any real life in it and you take the dead stuff off or the bad stuff off, it's either going to die the rest of the way or it's going to push all brand new growth.
Okay.
Do you have? How many hydrangeas do you
have? I just have two. And one's a flop head. The other one, I don't know, but it's more of a stiff kind of leaf and upright, more upright.
Yeah. Well, just take the dead stuff out, and have you fertilized them much?
I've fertilized them twice, I think.
What kind of fertilizer did you use, and when did you do it?
Just the Miracle. Now, what's the one everybody uses? Is that Miracle-Gro?
They might, Miracle-Gro is a favorite for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's all I've done it with, and I've done it in 2 week increments.
Okay, you're all right. Miracle-Gro is not strong, and it dilutes easily.
Yeah.
Well, try the pruning and cleaning them up, and then, you know, give them a good shot of Miracle-Gro, but don't water them too much. They're a pretty tough plant, actually.
One other thing is, you were just talking about grass. Well, I have a grass that's probably 25 or 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be watering that every other day, every day? What would you say?
Well, not every day, because I think that is it real thick and a lot of grass in there is real full?
It's pretty full. I mean, there's some parts that are looking a little, you know, like they're suffering a little, but not bad.
Uh-huh. Well,
but it's pretty full.
I would go every other day while the heat's on.
Okay.
And have you fertilized it often?
Not too often. I think the last time he fertilized it maybe was the end of spring, I think, or maybe it was spring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it was summer. Well, no, he wouldn't have done that in the summer. I'm sure it was in the spring, but late spring.
Okay. Well, you might try fertilizing it lightly again, and then pumping a lot of water to it so that fertilizer can get down to the root systems too. Whatever
you do
on fertilizer, make sure you do it light. If the directions, like say, you know, they say 2 pounds per 100 square feet or something like that, cut that in half and fertilize it that way, because that way you're not gonna harm or kill the grass.
Kill it. Okay. Okay, thank you for all your expertise.
Well, you're sure welcome. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All righty. Thank you. All righty. That's how easy it is.
Yeah. So if you have a question, call, or several questions, you know, let's get them all done right there in one fell swoop, and we'll be okay.
One big bundle.
Yeah, one big bundle. So,
what's the number you were just about?
Oh, we got a number? Oh, okay. 673-4464. So give us a shout and we'll have a conversation and see what happens, okay?
Alrighty.
All right. So, you know, I think prior to the call, I was talking about dull blades on the mower.
Oh, yeah.
Dull blades on the mower, they will tear new grass and they don't cut clean. And when you tear new grass, you are damaging it for whatever critter or fungus or some other bacteria can penetrate the grass stems and kill it. So after your first mow, you water heavy and deep to keep the energy level of the new lawn vigorous. Mm-hmm. And on average, you want to fertilize the new lawn at least once a month lightly and add water on it and water heavily. That's the way to do it after you use the fertilizer. And as the lawn matures, it's going to require less fertilizer because the roots are further down into the soil where there's more organic material that they can use to feed themselves. But keep your watering on a regular basis, regular schedule, at least once a week that first summer, minimum once a week. And when you do it, it's not 10 minutes or 15 minutes, it might be a half an hour.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and that way you can ensure that soil moisture gets down in there 6-7 inches if you've prepared it correctly to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as fall begins, the grass will slow down its growth. Now fall, let's see, what month are we now?
Feels like August.
It does, doesn't it? But fall, you know, usually mid-September, 1st of October, that kind of stuff. Well, you know, it's going to slow down, and hopefully it will rain again. Well, you want to begin to fertilize at least one last time prior to winter, and that's going to last until, say, early next spring, around March or April. So you want to feed it going into the winter, but you don't want to feed it so much that it spurs a lot of growth in your mowing on Christmas Day. You know, you don't want to do that.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, it would be. But be consistent in your watering and consistent in your fertilizing, and your new lawn will be green and weed-free. Now, I can talk about sod. That was all about seed lawns, but sod lawns are a little bit different, a little bit easier to take care of because they're mature.
And why don't we leave them hanging there?
Let's hang them.
Sod lawn coming up.
Hang them high.
All right, here we go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well. We are back. We've been speaking of lawns, and we're right into the sod lawn now. What's that? S-O-D, right?
Yeah, if you want to spell it that way. Yeah, sod lawns. Sod lawns are, you know, you might say they're instant lawns, and that after you've prepped your ground like I talked about in the last segment, and leveled it out, you can lay sod, and in a few hours your grass is in. It looks good except for the lines that you have, but the lines disappear in 2 or 3 or 4 days. And within 7 to 10 days you can actually get out there and walk on it.
Really?
Yeah, and it's rooted in really well. Within a few days, you can't pull the sod back up because the roots have already begun to establish themselves.
Got their hooks in there.
Oh, yeah, man. They don't let it go, too. They're going, wow, it's nice, and I'm feeling good, eating well, and it's wet.
Go away.
Go away. Leave me alone. But as a landscaper, I've always preferred sod for a few reasons. Mainly the homeowner can see the results in one day. You know, oh, that's beautiful, I love it. And I tell them, well, the lines where the sod was will disappear in just a few days, and then, but that doesn't mean you can go out there and play volleyball on it or nothing like that. You give it about, you know, 7 to 10 days to really root in before you start walking on it. And then you're gonna be watering fairly heavily for this first week, and then start to cut it off. You might be watering 3 times a day to make sure that the water penetrates the sod and gets into the root system. Mm-hmm. And then on day 6 or 7, you're only watering twice a day. And then a couple more days go by and you're once a day, but you're cutting the time back so that it's not soggy and swampy, but it's damp. Mm-hmm. And you just have to... You just have to get the feel for your own soil by checking the edges and making sure.
Yeah, you get that by going out there. And
yeah,
just,
yeah. You don't want to walk on the in the middle of the sod and like I said, put footprints in it. But on
on
the edges where the water or a sprinkler or the hose will over water on the edges, you can dig down there and see how damp it actually is. And if it's damp, it's good. If it's bone dry, add some water, baby, because it's struggling, and it will struggle until it gets sufficient soil moisture in there to grow. So, but, you know, I when I was in full-time landscaping here, you know, a year or so ago, I'm retired, by the way.
I bet you're glad of it today.
Oh, yes, my goodness. I mean, I did a lot of 100-degree days in the 50 years that I was a landscaper.
And very cold days.
Yeah, we had to move the snow once in a while to get to the dirt. Oh, gosh. But, you know, the homeowner is going to see results in a day. Then the instructions about care, like how much to water and how often, and if there's a sprinkler system, you know, you want to set the clock for time and frequency for the homeowner and show them what you're doing and say, well, okay, we're going to have it on 3 times a day for 10 minutes at a time until it's beginning to root in. And then what we're going to do is decrease the times per day, maybe once in the morning and once in the evening, but we're going to add time to the clock.
Ah.
We'll add 10 more minutes to the clock. So, but as you do that, as as it really starts to pick up and grow, you can actually, you know, wow, it's green, it's growing, it's really good. You can crank back on the watering daily until you're doing it maybe twice a week, but you're doing it a half an hour each time, or maybe 40 minutes each time. But each yard is different. Each, you know, just because you got a whole bunch of brand new houses in a brand new subdivision, and you
doesn't mean you got good dirt.
It doesn't mean you have good dirt, and then it's all the same in every house.
Oh,
it don't work that way. And you know, because some people have, you know, pure topsoil or sandy topsoil, and they don't add anything to their, you know, any organic material to the preparation of the lawn. So consequently, the water will drain very quickly through there.
Sure, it's like a clear cut.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if you have some organic material like fine grind bark or fine grind old sawdust or something, or peat moss, that kind of stuff, and you mix it in with that soil, it's going to absorb the water. It's going to drain, but it's going to drain slowly. And that's what you want. You want you want a drainage, but you want it to drain slowly so that as the soil moisture drops, the root systems follow it down. And that's the key to a successful lawn coming up right off the bat.
Yep. Yeah. Whether it's 100 degrees out or
right. And hun, it's really hard to grow a lawn in 100-degree weather. I mean, you know, something could happen. You think you got a sprinkler system and everything else. You think it's all set, and then for some reason, the electricity goes off, and you didn't know it for 2 days, and you go, "Wow, what the heck has happened?"
That's happened.
Yeah, 2 days ago it was good and green. Now it's kind of yellow. You know, so. But I always preferred sod for, you know, a few reasons. Like I say, that the homeowner can see the results in one day. Hey, there it is, and then the instructions about the care, like how much to water and how often. And if there's a sprinkler system, I'd set the clock for them and the frequency and show them, you know, what I did and why I did it. And, you know, turn on the system and make sure that it's covering everything. You know, you don't want to...
One end being soaked and the other one not.
Yeah, one end or a head, one of the nozzles fly off and there's this...
The dam breaks.
Yeah, and there's water going all over the place and... It's really important. And when we used to install sprinkler systems too, you know, prior to planting anything, you've got bare ground, whether it's lawn or shrub beds or whatever, and you turn on the system and see how it's doing. Is it hitting everything equally?
Mm-hmm.
Is it flooding anywhere? Everything level? Everything? You know, that way you can test it out and say, okay, hey, we're ready to put the sod in, or we're ready to put the plants in.
Ready to rock and roll.
And we know that it's going to work. We know at that point in time, if you give it 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day or whatever we set it at, it's okay. Everything's mm-hmm. going to make it. It's not going to be overwatered or underwatered. It's going to be just right. And that just takes, you know, years of experience in watching what different plants need. And you don't want a plant, this for some folks who are not experienced or knowledgeable about a lot of plants,
yeah.
may put in a planting bed some plants that like a lot of water right next to a plant that doesn't like a lot of water.
I wouldn't know the difference.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's common. That's common. You know, you want to put all like materials in the same bed. How would you know? Well, you read, if you're at a nursery, you ask questions and say, how much do I do this? I mean, how often, how much, every day, every week or what? Yeah. And give them the correct information to use. And the same way with fertilization, same way with pruning, like the lady that called earlier mm-hmm. about the borers and the pruning and stuff yeah. like that. Give them all the information you can to make them successful. That was always my bottom line. I want you call me in, I design your landscape, you approve it, we install it, and it's beautiful. I want it to stay beautiful. That's mm-hmm. why I want you to have all this information
right.
and write up a sheet of this is how you take care of it. This how often, this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And if you have any questions, please call. Don't hesitate to call. I'll give you the information.
So those flowers or whatever you buy at the big box stores, would they have any instructions?
Very little.
Yeah.
Very little.
See, that's fire.
Because they have a little, you know, plastic sticker in there.
Yeah, but I can't see to read it.
I know. I can't either. I got to put my glasses on. Magnifying glasses. Oh, yeah, okay. But at any rate, you know, we when we were doing those landscaping jobs, we'd set their clocks up, and for time, for frequency, and when I say time, either early morning or, you know, late night or whatever, and let them know this is what you want to do, this is how you want to check it, and just explain that you have to check on for a new lawn every day for at least a week to make sure it's getting what it needs mm-hmm. to be healthy. And they need to watch that spray pattern to make sure that there are no dry spots, because you get up on one of these hills outside here, up on Terrace or any one of the hills around Roseburg, and you always got a breeze up there in the afternoon. Okay, let's say you got a breeze from the west, and you've got this new plant bed or sod lawn or whatever, and the sprinkler comes on, but it's facing east, but the wind's coming from the west. Guess what? It's not reaching its full capacity. If it says, well, it'll do an 8-foot diameter or 8-foot semicircle, but it's only reaching out there 5.5 or 6 feet, it's 2 feet short of what it's capable of doing because we've got the wind, your water, yeah, you're watering at the wrong time of day. You know, do it in the morning where there's no wind, and or you need a different sprinkler head that can reach farther out, that's a little bit stronger.
You get the job done,
exactly. Because you get some of these sprinkler heads, they're cute and they're small, but they put out such a fine spray that any little breeze will kind of knock them off.
Doesn't do any good.
No, so you might want to get a bigger sprinkler that has more gallons per minute coming out of the nozzle and really covers your area.
It's kind of like a 4-cylinder in a V8.
Bingo. Yeah, same kind of deal. So, but like I say, watch the spray pattern. Make sure there are no dry spots. Water heavy, like in the early morning, to get a good soak, or 2 or 3 waterings during the day. This is on a new lawn. And after the sun sets, maybe one more good soak on a brand new sod lawn. In 5 or 6 days, that sod should be rooting in, and you can go to a single soak per day, and then maybe every 5 to 7 days after that, that's you're doing well. And then maybe you can cut it to, you know, twice a week, or maybe three times every 2 weeks, you know, something like that. Just depends on our weather.
Yeah.
If it's 104 degrees every stinking day, it may need a little bit more water. But if it's only 75, hey, you can cut back. You don't have to have it on that far. Because, like I've said 100 times or 1,000 times on my show over the last 20 years, that overwater will kill plants mm-hmm. more quickly than underwater.
Underwater.
You know, because if you have too much water in there, it rots the roots, and if the root, the primary root is rotten, it cannot send up any nutrients
right.
and grow the plant, whether it's grass or mm-hmm. or a tree. It's the same principle.
Killed mama.
Exactly. Unless it's a willow tree in a creek, you know.
Another one of those China vines.
Yeah. We've got a break here?
We do.
Okay. We'll be back.
And our phone number?
673-4464.
There you go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're moving into the final segment already at 4:53, and can you feel it? It's cooled off.
673-4464 for a question, and we've got about, 7 minutes or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something around that general market.
Yeah, but I've been talking about watering and sod lawns and sprinkler systems and things like that, stuff that, you need to be concerned with if that's what you want to do with your yard, and make sure you do it right so you don't have to redo it or hire somebody to come in and undo what you did and do it right. Save yourself a bit of time, effort, money, and frustration. Mm-hmm. But make sure, like I said, when you have this new lawn, that the ground is firm enough for a person and a mower to not make impressions and little holes in your new lawn, like footprints or mower ruts or that kind of thing. And the first week you should monitor your watering carefully. You don't want a swamp and you don't want a hard, dry lawn at
desert.
The same time. Either way, you got to get that happy medium. And when we would finish with a job, whether it was sod or full landscape or whatever like that, I usually did daily drive-bys just to check on the new lawns, just to see if the homeowner was actually following my instructions. And there have been quite a few occasions over the years, and I've had, 50,000 jobs in all that time. I would see something, I could see it as I was driving by. I didn't even have to stop and check because I could see what was going wrong just by, driving by. I'd stop, knock on the door, and she'd go, oh, hi, man, I said, by the way, I noticed that your shrubs are wilted out here. Oh, and I didn't water them? Well, we set the timer, but let's see the timer. Go in their garage, and somehow the timer got turned off.
Oh, no.
They thought it was watering at 9 o'clock at night, but there was nothing happening at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh.
So, those kinds of things, and people appreciate that because they spend thousands of dollars on a landscape job, and you put all these plants in, and everything is looking good.
And they just die.
And 10 days later, what's going on? I don't want them calling me up and say, hey, I need new plants. Your plants were rotten. No, they weren't.
It's usually a simple thing, too.
It is. Let's say they had the sprinkler set for, 5 in the morning, and they don't get up till 7,
mm-hmm.
And so when they get up, they think that the job's
done.
Yeah, it's already been done. Don't have to worry about it. And maybe it did come on for 4 minutes when it should have come on for 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so they see wet spots on maybe the driveway or the sidewalk or something like that. And, the sprinkler system came on, but it was only 4 minutes and they didn't know because they were asleep and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So you make sure, you say, well, the clock, I had the clock set on this, and I take them into their garage and the clock, I had the timer set on this time, but it looks like somebody moved it. Oh, she said, my husband was in here fiddling it with it one day, and I guess he reset it or something like that.
I'll slap you.
I said, no. Tell him to keep his hands off
it.
I said it in a way that was kind of jokingly, but I really meant it.
Yeah.
I said, I set this here because this is the proper amount of time and water that particular grass or those shrubs need. So leave it alone for a while, and I'll swing by in another couple of weeks just to make sure you're doing it. And they go, okay, thank you, appreciate you stopping. That didn't happen a lot, but
right,
you know, as you're driving around, I can spot something wrong at 50 miles an hour in somebody's yard. I mean, I can just glance at it and go, wow, what the heck are they doing there? What's wrong with them people? Why are they doing that?
But yet we can't read the small print.
I know. I know. Oh, gosh. But anyway, for best results, water at night after the heat is gone. And, you know, mow your lawn, that new lawn, at, say, a high level. Don't scalp it. Better to leave it a little bit long and shaggy. Than brown and short. I mean, I see so many lawns out there. They're the color of dead straw because they've been mowed right down to the nitty-gritty. They might have been green on the top because that's where all the photosynthesis works. That's why it's green up there.
Yeah.
And then you cut all that green off and you got brown. And then you water the heck out of it until more green finally comes up. Then you mow it again. Well, you do that often enough, you're going to kill the whole thing. It's going to give up and say, hey, we're out of here. We're going next door.
You want us dead? Here you are.
Here you are. You know.
Good Lord.
Oh, gosh. But then it just happens because people don't understand. That's all.
Yep.
And you try to explain it to them or write it down. I found that the best instructions I gave were written instructions. You know, water on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Mow on Saturday.
I can comprehend that.
Yeah, yeah. There it is. Paste it up in the garage over the box that controls the sprinkler.
Yeah,
and you see it right there. Okay, that's some people. They're not familiar with it. Don't know.
I sympathize with those folks.
Yeah, yeah, and they're not. They just don't know. They just don't have the background knowledge. And some folks are really sharp. They've done it a lot and they've been successful. So you don't have to worry too much about that. It's usually the first time homeowner, say a young couple buys a new house in a subdivision up here and whatever, and puts in a landscape and they experience problems because they didn't consult with a professional at all. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, nowadays that's all I do is consultations and stuff like that. And it's easy to do. Are we done?
We are finished.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something.
All right. What's, I was going to ask you what our phone number, but it didn't matter.
673-4464. So there, I said it anyway.
There you go. Catch you next Wednesday, huh?
Okay, I'll be here if you are.
I think I'll be.
You better be.
Graffiti Week coming up.
Ooh-wee.